Hello, I'm Hannah Critchlow, and the latest Naked Neuroscience podcast is now out. It's called Bombing the Brain, and it looks at neuroscience in war. To give you a little teaser, Captain Mark Lyndhurst served in Afghanistan. He explains how leading troops during a siege led to him developing post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD.
When soldiers look at you and go, boss, why are we doing this? But in some level, you've got to sympathise, because you can't just tell them to shut up and get on with it, because the situation is ridiculous. But on the other level, you need to come up with an answer and come up with a reason that they follow you back out the gate next day, even though you know you're going to get shot at. They had 7 weeks of that, and that's what left me my PTSD. Now, a vehicle, when it gets blown up in the desert, there is one smell that will stay with me for the rest of my life, and it's this mix of diesel and stings the back of your throat and stings the back of your nostrils. Sometimes if you're walking past like roadworks where there was bitumen boiling, it's that same acrid smell. And something like that would flick me back in an instant. You relive these moments and you relive them, what you know, and the memory's an odd thing. You're not really remembering actually what was going on. And before you know it, you've remembered it so many times that it's become a confusion and a fantasy. You didn't really feel justified in telling it to anyone, because it's a very personal problem. But if you don't, it finds other ways to escape, and people turn to alcohol, to drugs. Now, alcohol in particular, although it, to a certain degree it quashes these thoughts, it also provides a vehicle for them to come alive and just express them, or at least the emotions, the anger, the fear, and everything to come out. In my case, it ended up with self-harm and suicide attempts.
Captain Mark Lyndhurst. And PTSD doesn't affect just those who served in the military. It's estimated to affect around one in every three people who have experienced significant trauma. Gary Pollard was rushed into surgery for an emergency colostomy. His colon burst, and doctors had to remove the damaged area and replace it with a bag to collect the waste products that usually travelled through his digestive system. But it's after he had recovered that his PTSD really emerged.
I'd become this really short-tempered, irritable, angry person. And I started getting flashbacks. When I was asleep, I would dream that it had burst, you know, that it was full of excrement, and it had burst all over the bed. I mean, that did actually happen a couple of times when I had it. But the sense, it woke up, and I could smell it, even though it wasn't there. I could feel it on my skin, even though it wasn't there. And I didn't know what it was. Post-traumatic stress disorder, to me, was always something that people in the forces got. And it wasn't until I tried to kill myself because of it. It had just gone on so long that I just couldn't live with it anymore, really. Once I ended up in a mental hospital for about a month. They put me on medication to try and lift my mood. I think just the love and support of my family and friends. I've started EDMR treatment, some eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. My therapist talks about it just, your brain hasn't processed it, which is why you relive it over and over again. So she's helping me to do that, and which basically involves her waving her fingers in front of my head. I know it sounds simple, but and she says for some reason sometimes these traumatic events don't move over and they don't get processed and filed away.
And Mark also had EMDR, so eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, a treatment developed in the 1980s. It involves making side-to-side eye movements and listening to taps whilst recalling traumatic events. Different images, noises or smells acting as cues associated with the PTSD are presented. Patients are then trained to replace the traumatic thought with a positive one. And it's thought the alternating left-right eye movement stimulates the brain in a similar way to when you're sleeping with REM, rapid eye movement sleep, where memory reinforcement is thought to happen. More recently, small controlled doses of ecstasy are being used alongside this type of treatment. To find out more, I visited Dr. Amy Milton from Cambridge University.
MDMA, which is also known as ecstasy, is a very, very dirty drug, so it has a lot of different effects on the brain. A few of the things that it does is mainly to increase levels of particular chemicals, so dopamine, noradrenaline, serotonin, and oxytocin. So these are all modulatory chemicals in the brain that influence cognitive function in a very sort of diffuse way. But certainly dopamine and oxytocin have been linked to feeling attached to people and sort of euphoria and feeling good about yourself. MDMA used to treat post-traumatic stress, there has been some evidence that MDMA reduces the activity of the amygdala. So that might be why MDMA appears to be effective in conjunction with psychotherapy. It may be enhancing the effect that the psychotherapy is having, which should ultimately reduce the activity of the amygdala.
And that reduces that feeling of fear and anxiety.
Yes, exactly. So the amygdala is really important. It's important for a number of different emotional memories, but in the case of PTSD, for the storage of those fear memories.
Thanks to Captain Mark Lyndhurst, Gary Pollard and Dr. Amy Milton. If you want to hear more about PTSD or neuroscience in general, visit nakedscientists.com/neuroscience for the latest Naked Neuroscience podcasts, or you can find us on iTunes.